a program of interest for the entire community concerning people and events on the campus of Concordia Seminary. Your host is the seminary's coordinator of media services, the Reverend William Engster.
Good afternoon and welcome to our program. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Reverend William Engster, the seminary's coordinator of media services. And we are pleased today to have as our guest the Reverend L. Dean Hempelman, the seminary's director of admissions and ministerial recruitment. Welcome, Dean.
Thank you very much, Bill.
It sounds like from your title that you have two similar but rather distinct jobs.
Yes, that's true. In my work at the seminary, there is the being director of admissions and ministerial recruitment, as well as a third position, actually, and that is to also teach in the Department of Practical Theology at the present time, teaching a course in training in pastoral relationships.
Well, it sounds like you're a very busy man. First of all, let's talk about the part of your job that is director of admissions. What does that work involve?
Being the director of admissions is really an exciting task because of the fact that you get to deal with people from all circumstances of life who have come to the place of wanting to prepare for the ministry and then to be admitted into Concordia Seminary to begin their preparation for the pastoral office. And so we deal with people in terms of financial aid, in terms of housing, in terms of talking with them about the call of God in their life to serve Him and how this might best be carried out. And there are really two main streams, I guess you could say, of how people enter into the seminary today. One is through what we might call the old track, the standard track, and that is that a young man who wants to prepare for the ministry begins by going to one of the junior colleges of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod spread throughout the United States. And after going through that baccalaureate level education, is then admitted into Concordia Seminary for his last 4 years. There is also the possibility today that a man may come to know that he wants to serve his Lord Jesus Christ in ministry while he's, for instance, going to a secular university or college. And he may come then from that kind of an environment into the seminary, having to make up certain admission requirements such as the religion qualifying tests, such as making up work on a pre-seminary level in biblical languages. And it's an exciting thing to help men who have decided to serve their Lord in this ministry to come generally from one of those two routes. Now there's also, besides those two, would be the third area, and that is colloquy. And the colloquy program, the pastoral colloquy program today, allows men who later in life want to come and serve to come from, for instance, another profession and enter into ministry.
Well, it sounds like you have a lot of personal contact and counseling that you do with these men then in order to assist them in entering the seminary. Would you say that many of the men come and make the first contact with you, or is that where we get into this whole area of recruitment, where you go out first and make the contact with these men?
It really comes both ways, and that's the beautiful thing about the position that I hold now, is that I am able to minister to people coming from these various circumstances of life. I have been a parish pastor for 12 years, and I thoroughly enjoyed my ministry. I will always be a parish pastor at heart, and I love to work with these men and to help counsel them. And it comes in two ways. I would say nearly It's getting close now, probably to well over a third, initiate contact with the seminary themselves, asking for information. They have been talking with their pastors at home and so forth. The others are those that I made contact with, say, that are on our synodical campuses or on some secular university in our country where I visit.
Just how do you go about making contact? You travel around, or just what's the procedure you use for recruitment?
Okay, the procedure that we're using at the present time is that in the spring and the fall, we make recruitment visits to all of our synodical schools. And at the same time, I've been trying to add, like this year, I added 5 other colleges to visit, and I hope next year to be able to add 5 more, and following year 5 more. Visiting such colleges as Pacific Lutheran University, California Lutheran College, Gustavus Adolphus, Yale University, and so forth. Because there are students at these schools that are interested in serving their Lord and serving their Lord in some church location. And consequently, I can help them then in counsel to show where they might best serve. And that's an exciting thing to be able to do that, to go to these various schools. And since Concordia Seminary is such a well-recognized theological institution, you always receive a good welcome.
Well, in terms of recruitment then, are you looking for students who are considering entering the Master of Divinity program, or you've mentioned also the colloquy program? What types of students are we really looking for?
Okay, first of all, we're looking for students who, because of their deep Christian conviction and knowing that they have a relationship in faith with God through Jesus Christ, want to serve Him, and who then have in some way come to begin preparation for moving in this direction. And I've mentioned already, as you said, the Pastoral Colloquy Program. And the Pastoral Colloquy Program really covers men who come from various strands of life. Would you like me to review some of those with you? There is a Pastoral Colloquy Program brochure, Bill, that lists 5 eligible routes for those who are coming from the Colloquy Program. Number 1 are ministers, are candidates for ministry who are in good standing in other Christian church bodies and graduates of an established theological seminary. Number 2, graduates of the Synod Teachers Colleges whose names appear on the roster of Synod and who have had at least 5 years of successful experience in teaching.
Now that would include teachers and also others who might be trained, say for example, as directors of Christian education or something like that.
You're absolutely right.
And have 5 years of experience already in some parish situation or other teaching capacity.
And we have a number of people who have done that. In fact, there are a number of people presently who maybe even have that intention while they're in teachers' colleges to be a part of the pastoral ministry, but who go through that route, become certified as teachers, and teach for 5 years, and then enter the seminary. Okay, so that's 2. The 3rd eligible area are members in good standing of a synodical congregation and who are graduates of a non-synodical seminary. 4thly, are members in good standing of synodical congregations who are over the age of 40 and are college graduates and who have had some experience, of course, in church work. And then 5thly, are members in good standing of a synodical congregation who belong to a special ethnic or linguistic group and who have a college level education. So those are the eligible routes for entering the Pastoral Colloquy Program. Application for this is not made to the seminary itself, but is made through a person's district president and then goes to the colloquy board of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod.
Well, it sounds like your recruitment then is very wide-based and takes in a lot of different men from different kinds of backgrounds. I'm wondering about the recruitment now, say, for example, of students who have come through the synodical school system. I understand that next year that recruitment is going to take on some new aspects. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, one of the things we plan to do next year is that with Reverend Gilbert Messicki, who is the director of seminary relations at Fort Wayne, at the seminary there, is going to, together with me, visit in a joint way all of the synodical schools. And we have that schedule already set up, and we're looking forward to this. And although it's on an experimental level, I believe that it will demonstrate to the students and to the church at large and professionalism and churchmanship that is important, where we can go and show them that they have an option of where they go to school, and to be able to talk to them specifically about ministry.
It sounds like then you're recruiting men for ministry rather than specifically to attend Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, or some other specific institution.
Yes, I believe that our primary emphasis always has to be on the proclamation of the gospel, on ministry. I suppose you could look at it on two levels. First of all, as we think in terms of recruitment, it should be to talk to young men about serving in the pastoral ministry in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. There is a great need today for ministers in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I called the Department of Statistics and Personnel and found out that at the end of March of this year, there were 734 vacant congregations. Besides that, every year, around 225 to 250 of our pastors who have faithfully served their Lord and His church either die or retire. And so we have that need, besides working in the needs then of a worldwide ministry, and that's sort of the second level, I think, to know that, as far as I know, our Lord Jesus has never retracted the Great Commission, which is to go and make disciples of all nations, of all people. And therefore, it's reaching out in foreign mission opportunities, for instance, which we are very interested in. God is opening doors throughout the world for us today that have never been opened before, and for us to go to these places. We have need for guest workers. And the seminary here has just established, with great help of donors, a death chair, the John of Beverly death chair, which I believe is we are the only seminary who has such a chair. But because we are interested in training men for death ministry, then there's ministry for the Hispanics, the largest minority in the United States. Need for a training men for black ministry in black communities. At the present time, there are about 40 men serving in black communities. 19 of those are 65 years old or older. So you can see a great need there. Training men for multiple pastors, new home missions. You can go on and on, but I think the picture is clear. So the two levels, we are an institution primarily training men for ministry of word and sacrament and religion church and the Senate. Having at the same time the worldwide vision of bringing the gospel, the good news of God and Jesus Christ to all the world.
Well, I thank you for outlining some of those specialized ministries for us. And it sounds like most of those would be in areas where we would be sending a trained pastor, as you say, in word and sacrament. What about some other kinds of specialized ministries that might involve others than the pastoral office? Do we also do recruiting in that area or counseling in that area?
Yes, I think it's very important that we help people to see that wherever you are serving God by serving others in this world, you are involved in a Christian vocation. Thanks to Martin Luther for showing us, I think, that inside of the priesthood of all believers. And we need also to help men. Let me give you an example maybe to best answer your question. And that would be, recently I was visiting the University of Wisconsin in Madison. And Pastor James Knuth there has been very good at helping young men see how they can be heralds and proclaimers of the gospel wherever they might be in the world. And there's a medical student there who is going to go on to finish his med school, probably even go into a specialization, wants to serve in a foreign country, probably with poverty-stricken people, and at the same time wants to be, quote, a minister, unquote, of the gospel there. And so it's helping this man as he goes through to have contact with the Board of Missions, and Pastor Herbos has been very helpful here, so that he can be trained also in understanding how his religious faith correlates with his being a medical man, and how he can be trained before he leaves by our church then to be a medical missionary. And he too then can be a proclaimer, a herald for the Lord Jesus Christ there. And yes, we counsel with these people. We want to counsel with them because they're involved in ministry just like men are.
So we realize that while our primary purpose at the seminary is to train men for the pastoral ministry, there's a much greater ministry also, and where we can lend some aid there, we do so. I want to get back to this area of specialized ministries. I know that when I first entered the seminary, I really didn't know what kind of ministry I wanted, and I'm wondering if part of your role as director of admissions is to help these men entering the seminary identify various areas of ministry where they might serve.
I'm really glad that you asked that question. It's probably not so much that I would help men as it is that our seminary is already equipped as it is to make available to men various options. And let's say that a man comes into the seminary and does not really know into what area he wants to function. We believe that, first of all, he should have a parish experience, just like in medicine. Before you become a specialist, a pediatrician, or whatever, you know what it is to have all the basic fundamentals of medicine. And we believe that also in ministry, you need the basics of parish. And therefore, in your first experiences at the seminary, you are involved in field work education, a very vital part of our program, and a most exciting one, I think, from a student point of view here at the seminary, where you are assigned to a fieldwork church. You work under a supervisor here in the St. Louis area who has been trained to help you in discovering what it is to be a parish pastor. Now, after a year and a quarter, you may, if you are so inclined, begin to look at other possibilities. For instance, you may be interested in chaplaincy, and you might want to go into clinical pastoral education. And that is an option in your second year. You may want to do some field work experiences with social agencies here in town, and so forth. You can branch out. You may also become interested, say, in military chaplaincy. And besides having Dr. Charlemagne here on our faculty, and who is himself in the Air Force and knows how to counsel men in that area, we have the commission itself coming onto campus. And then you go on vicarage, and you have another parish experience where you can come to grips with you in the parish ministry. In your fourth year, although you are not assigned fieldwork, you certainly have opportunities to become involved in all kinds of varied ministries in the St. Louis area. And consequently, by the time you get to that fourth year, you have been helped to know pretty well how you fit into God's kingdom and the area of service.
So the seminary has that kind of flexibility built into it that allows men to train not only for the pastoral ministry in a congregation, but also in other areas of specialized ministry as well. I'd like to spend just a few minutes and talk about what the typical student is like that comes to Concordia Seminary, or is there even such a thing as a typical student? I know several years ago, most of the students came through the synodical school system, as we've outlined, I'm wondering if that's the case today, or what percentage of students today come from outside of that synodical school system.
This last year, we have, in the first year class, about 40 students who came directly from secular universities to this campus, out of a class of 150. So, in answer to your question, Bill, I guess I must still say that the majority of our students, and rightly so, come through our synodical schools. They are the foundation of our educational system, and we support them. But it's not limited to that. And I guess that's something that's new, because used to, as you well know, every man came through a certain track and ended up at the same place. And today, there is at least that option of coming from directly from the university or college here. Although, you have work to make up when you do that, in biblical languages, in having your knowing Old Testament content, New Testament content, and Christian doctrine, having speech requirements and so forth, that are normally offered at our canonical schools in the regular course of events. If you come from a secular university, you have to make those up on a pre-seminary level beforehand.
But the seminary provides those classes and guidance in meeting those requirements.
Yeah, that's the beautiful thing, is that you can come right to the campus here and already receive those pre-seminary level courses by instructors on our faculty.
Well, you've laid out for us a very broad picture of admissions and recruitment here at the seminary. In the 3 or 4 minutes that remain, I wonder if you have some closing thoughts for us on this whole area of recruitment.
Yes, I really do, and I would like to stress to anyone who's listening the very important aspect of talking to people about serving their Lord Christ in a church vocation. It's not as easy as hiring a man such as myself or anyone else to come and to, so to speak, just run around and pick up scattered people and gather them together at the seminary. Here's the thing I want to stress. The most important factor in recruitment are pastors of local congregations and parents. They are the foremost influences in shaping our life spiritually and in making a decision to prepare for ministry. Maybe pastors and parents don't realize that formative influence. But Bill, if you have the experience that I have of reading all these applications for admission, you can see that it's mentioned over and over. My good Christian family. My father taught me about ministry. My mother was always interested in not only bringing me to Sunday school, but going to Sunday school and church with me. Of my pastor, who was with me in confirmation instruction. So those two are very important. We as an institution can encourage pastors and parents and teachers to be active in this work of recruitment. We can encourage them, we can help them, we can give them materials, and that's what I see as the role of the seminary, to be able to supply all of that. And to remember that our foremost endeavor is to make sure that the gospel is proclaimed. There are literally millions of people throughout the world who have never heard the good news of God in Jesus Christ. That God came in the flesh, in the person of Jesus, who lived, died, rose again, ascended, and who rules now in our behalf, so that we can have life now with God and life hereafter with God. And that we are to proclaim from the housetop.
And so the best that we can do, really, is to say to those young people, through pastors and parents, come and see. Come and see what this is all about. Proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And that challenge is there. And people today need a challenge. They're looking, young people today are looking for where they might serve. And we need to lay before them the challenge of ministry. And I hope that all
the people who are listening remember this vital thing in their prayers.
Thank you very much, Dean. It's been a pleasure to visit with the Reverend Dean Hempelman, the Director of Admissions and Ministerial Recruitment at the seminary. Thanks for being with us today, Dean.
You've been listening to Monday Memo from Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, with your host, the Reverend William Engfer. This program is brought to you the first Monday of every month at 12:05.